Yeah, good morning, everybody. Good to see you, and good to be here. And I'm going to be doing the Dharma talk, I guess. But I think what I appreciate starting the way Lindell started, some of the points or some of the things that she brought to mind, just the whole notion of equanimity, just relating to ever-changing conditions of this is the way it is now. This is the way it is. And I think it's really summarized. It really does. There's a certain essence there as we kind of head out and kind of figure out what do I do with my life and how do I deal with all these problems and this and that. We go on a journey and learn meditation and this and that. And there's a coming back to of acceptance. Of relating to life, changing conditions, of not something that we're going to control, but something that we relate to. We relate to in a different way than we had been in the past. So I think this is where we are right now on these Oxfording pictures. So I'm going to, this morning, as Linda mentioned, we are introducing the next Oxfording picture, which is called, The Ox Forgotten, Self Remains. And before I open up that introduction, I just want to touch on some of the other pictures, some of the where the journey has been. And it has been a journey. All these 10 pictures are a spiritual journey. It kind of epitomizes the what it means to be on a spiritual journey. From starting in confusion to ending in full awakening. And so it started out, and maybe some of you haven't joined in or you kind of forget where things are, but it started out with a search. A person going out, searching for the ox, this ox representing who knows exactly. Don't exactly have to nail it, but it's some sort of symbol of finding something out there which is going to take care of the issues that I'm relating to the challenges in life. So there's that search, and then along with that search is a confusion. There's a exhaustion. There's a lot of energy put into this frustration. And then as it proceeds, the ox herder, he finds the ox. After looking everywhere, he finds the ox and then he starts trying to tame it, and it's a big struggle, and we can all relate to the struggle in our own practice. And then there's a kind of a settling down. There's a clarity that emerges of understanding and letting go of some of the struggle. And then last week, there is a point to which there's a taming of the ox and then a riding home on the ox. So there's a lot of doing, a lot of chasing, a lot of wanting, and now finally settling, riding the ox home, playing his flute, relaxed at ease, and he arrives at home. And so this is where we are today. The ox herder has come home, and the ox is forgotten. So I'm going to bring up the pictures, and I think my attitude or my challenges in terms of relating to this as I've been put out there in the past. So there's a way of relating to this that I've been learning and relating to poetry or relating to the symbolic communication, where it's not trying to absolutely nail it. So it's a way of being receptive. And I think Lauren in the past has talked about one thing that's helpful in relating to poetry or relating to these oxfording images and verses is to pause. Just pause. And that's kind of our practice, to pause, to relax, open up, not in a rational, figuring way, but just open up receptively. And then trust what emerges, trust what appears. Trust what comes to you, kind of intuitively. So I'm going to share the screen and encourage you to kind of look at these pictures that way, and let's see how this is going to work. So here's picture number 7, the ox forgotten, the self remains. Astride the bowl, I reach home. I am serene. The bowl too can rest. The dawn has come. In blissful repose within my thatched dwelling, I have abandoned the whip and ropes. So, pause. Relax and open. What impressions come forth? What words draw your attention? Is there anything that these picture and verse evoke? Okay. Stop share. There's no right answer here. It's just a recognition. Maybe just confusion. Maybe it struck you in one way or another. We'll share the screen again. Take a second pass. You may or may not get a different impression. An emotion, an opinion. Stride the bowl, I reach home. I am serene. The bowl too can rest. Dawn has come. In blissful repose within my thatched dwelling, I have abandoned the whip and rope. So when we all have our own way of taking on. Some might be just confusion. I don't get it. I'm certainly had that. And some might say, oh, my words might come out. One word that came out for me in particular is home, coming home. And it reminded me of a couple of months ago. I said a couple of things in this group about the Sufi wise fool named Nasruddin, and he was looking for his keys out in the dark, you know, outside in front of under a light, and he was looking and couldn't find it. And somebody came up and, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" "Oh, your keys." "Oh, okay." Looking. "Well, where did you lose them, Nasruddin?" "Oh, I lost them in my house." "Oh." So often when we start out with our journey, we start out looking outward. And now in this picture, it seems like he's coming home. There was an outward looking, you know, searching for that bull. And now he's coming. This ox herder is coming home. And there's a stillness as he comes back to his own dwelling. And this is kind of like a spiritual journey. You know, it's kind of a classic heroics journey where it starts out, you know, things like, you know, the Odyssey, or Star Wars, or Harry Potter, even. There's these classic journeys, classic spiritual journeys, classic heroic journeys, in which starts out with a certain confusion, you know, wondering, you know, what to do, how to go do, and seeking out, going out to seek. And so in these oxarding pictures, there's a lot of verbs that are used. Searching, wanting, riding, getting control of, managing, doing. And now it's kind of turning, in which there's a settling in your back home. And likewise for these other journeys, you know, the heroes go out there and they come in contact with some sage or some wise person or somebody to give them guidance. And so it is with our practice. We listen to teachers. We have our own frustrations. And then there's a way that we can start being a little more comfortable with this practice, a little more confident in this practice, you know, a settledness. Doesn't mean that there's been, that all the greed, hatred, and delusion is gone. They still arise. But we have a different way of relating to them. We can relate to all the challenges in life with a bit of equanimity. We can see, like Lauren, like Lindell said, it's like this now. Life is like this. So, at this point, there's a couple of things as I looked at this, and I kind of reflected on my own way, but I also reflected on, I started reading and seeing what other teachers have said. And, you know, one I turned to, and I think there's a couple of local Dharma teachers have used Martine Batchelor in the past. She has a real nice description of these different oxarding pictures. And I'm not sure what you remember about Martine Batchelor, but she is the wife of Stephen Batchelor, and the two of them teach together, often in Gaia House in England with Christina Feldman. And both Martine and Stephen Batchelor talk about secular Buddhism, in which they strip away some of the Buddha dogma, patriarchy, and the religious aspects of Buddhism. And so it tries to look at, you know, what's kind of an essence of Buddhism. So when she looks at this picture, she says, until now there was an idea that there was something to do, something to practice. And so there's a separation between ourselves and the practice. There was kind of, I am controlling my practice. I am doing things. I am managing this. And now sometimes I'm doing well and sometimes not so well. And sometimes I struggle and sometimes I get doubt because I'm not managing good enough. At this point, with Martine Batchelor is saying, everything becomes meditation. We're all kind of, you know, the full life. It's not just sitting on the cushion. It's our day-to-day activities. And awareness, it's not something that we do and seek out, but rather becomes a natural as breathing. You know, it's like this. And we have a different relationship to other aspects of the practice. There's a wise view. There's a really completely all-in attitude of ground sila, of harmlessness. Dedicated to harmlessness, generosity. And they all come naturally. And our team would say at this point, you can't even think of being unkind or telling lies. Rodney Smith, I also listened. He had a talk. He did a whole series a number of years ago. And it was back in 2008. And that's still available on Dharma Seed, or on Dharma Seed, I think Sim's website as well. And this is, he talks about forgetting the ox. And so what Rodney described is that you forget the distinction between self and other. There's that self-forgetting that's occurring here. We often arrange our lives. It's real common. It's real typical. It's real natural to say, I'm here, you're out there. I got to take care of myself and manage and navigate life. There's a loosening of that in this picture. There's a letting go a bit of that. And there's an abiding in presence. And Rodney would say that the instructions, when we listen to our instructions, the instructions can be heard with wise view or unwise view. You know, we can meditate, we can do all this mindfulness practice. Unwise view would be doing it for gain. We're trying to say, I got to get good at meditating. I got to nail this one. I got to learn how to do this. This is a challenge. I'm not doing well enough. This is unwise view. You can take unwise view even farther. I can learn meditation in order to be a good thief, break safecracker or something. Wise view is letting go of that separate sense of self and other. It's a connection. So Ronnie talks about connection or disconnection. And connection being, this is what the practice is all about. Just an ordinary self, not a self trying to strive after something, but just an ordinary self. It's like this. I'm like this. Nothing more, nothing less. We are always ordinary selves, he said, except that we try to make something bigger or lesser, have commentary, thoughts, and attitudes about this ordinary self that we just are. So he encourages just practice, just being. What's authentic? And Lauren was introducing these pictures, there's a relax component. Relax and pause. Just relax. Pause. Be here with. Relaxing with an awareness. Connecting. It's a connection. The alternative to that is closing down, shutting down, narrowing a view. This is an opening of view, widening and more taking in, relaxing in within the whole context. Rodney used the word self-forgetting. Self-forgetting is abiding in presence, not being lost in thought. Just simply being ourselves. Non-judgmental awareness, just being. So this can be contrasted. This just awareness, just being, just awareness, as opposed to being aware of something, being aware of someone. That kind of, that sets up that relationship. Me, you. I'm aware of you. I'm aware of that. No, but this is the alternative to that, is closing that separation, opening up, just aware. It's a pragmatic practice. It allows us to relate to the difficulties in life, so that we know where we're going. We can have clarity. We can recognize the pitfalls. We still will, the full range of human experience. There'll still be the greed, hatred, and delusion arising. You know, this isn't full liberation yet. Greed, hatred, delusion arise. The sickness, aging, and death. All the challenges, all the things which cause suffering, they still all arise. But there's a significant change. in the past, or typically, or maybe as we're conditioned, when sickness, aging, and death arise, there's thoughts about this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening to me. When we have difficulties or disagreements with people, things aren't going our way. We lose a job. We lose a relationship. We have a conflict with a partner or a friend. When we're stuck in traffic, old view is blaming. They're doing something to cause me a problem. The view that's arising in this picture is the non-blaming. It's relating to, as Wendell said, it's like this now. It's like this. Just relaxing, observing, and allowing. So everything becomes practice. Everything's a meditation. Start out as a search, you know, looking outside of oneself, leaving the house, trying to find something out there, settling gradually, coming around to confidence in the practice, coming around to stillness in the practice. So, let me see. Hang on a second. So this coming around to getting settled, to being able to rest in the present moment, to be able to have clarity in how to relate. There's a coming home. We leave home in search of something. This Oxford left home in search of something, wanting some answer to our difficulty, wanting something changed, going through the struggle, and then coming around, returning home again, back home again. Nothing has changed. The external conditions are the same. The only thing that's changed at this point is our relationship to it. Now we're seeing the very same thing with clarity. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's like this now. There's an easefulness about that. And we can rest in that ease. So I think I'll leave it at that. Just this spiritual journey. It's not everybody goes on a spiritual journey. Some people live out their lives the way they were conditioned. Maybe the conditioning from past lives, you can go there. But just how we've been conditioned and just distract ourselves. I think the fact that we're all here, we have a certain spiritual journey. We're looking at other ways of relating to life. Relating to lives which are going to cause less harm to ourselves and others. Relating to our lives in a way that creates connections instead of divisiveness. Relating to our lives and others with an easefulness, with a kindness, with respect, and leading to liberation. So I'll let it go with that. So I'd like to take some time now and break into small groups. And hopefully you guys can stick around. Certainly, even if you don't feel like talking, really feel free to join a group and, just listen as you like and offer as you like. and consider in these groups, how are you relating to this? How has these pictures affected you today? What's your connection with it? How might it relate to your practice? What does it mean to come home? What does it mean to, I'm going to use the words that he has here. Yeah. Stride the bull. I tell you what, I'm going to share this again. Better way of doing it. So, ox forgotten, the self remains. Stride the bull, I reach home. I am serene. The bull too can rest. The dawn has come. In blissful repose, within my thatched dwelling, I have abandoned the whip and ropes. Oh boy, I forgot to share, didn't I? Here, I tried it again. Darn it. Okay. Again, astride the bull, I reach home. I'm serene, the bull too can rest. The dawn has come. In blissful repose, within my thatched dwelling, I have abandoned the whip and ropes. So take that perspective, or whatever you took away from it, and bring it into the group. And I'm going to have a little larger groups, maybe 4 or 5. And if you really need to leave, it'd be a good time to do it, but hopefully you can join us. And share as you feel comfortable doing it. So let me do the breakout groups here. All right, here we go. Give me about 15 minutes here. And then I'll give a minute before. You'll have a minute when I say close the rooms, and then have a little discussion afterwards. So what was the effect? How might this be helpful in your practice? Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Looks like everybody made it back okay from the outer limits. And this time, feel free to unmute yourselves, and if you consider what you're discussing and anything that might have been impressing you or affected you or had questions about, either from the talks or the group discussion. So you can raise your hand. It's often the best where it's just a... Let's see. All right. Yeah, raise your hand if you want to say something. Nobody's rushing forth, so you could even raise your hand like this and call on them. Yeah, Lillian Nikhil.
Yeah, something I had noticed in the picture was that it looked like there was this balcony in the foreground of the picture where the perspective of the person looking down at the Oxford was perhaps on their own balcony. And someone in our group had an interesting perspective on that, which it was kind of relating it to knowing the boundaries between ourselves and others. And I thought that that was a really interesting interpretation of it. And I thought it fit a little bit with what Gary, you had mentioned earlier with, may I be at peace with your path, like having the distinction between where are we on our path and where are others, and kind of having the sense of boundaries, I guess, between ourselves and others.
Nikhil, there's a bit of echo in your sound, so I guess you're talking about the balcony and that's a certain perspective that you have, and also you're talking about boundaries between self and others, and you're wondering about that.
So, yeah, someone had just brought that up as like a interpretation of the balcony, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that's the important. What does it evoke? And certainly it's evoking something about self and other, and there being boundaries. That is a key aspect of our practice. You know, how do we relate to that? How do we create a separation? Rodney, talking about Rodney Smith in his talk, he's used the word connect. So much of it has to do with how are we connecting? And if we're creating boundaries, it's that separation, it's isolation, it's kind of what creates the suffering. It creates our aloneness. And it's our connection, So in terms of just the phrasing, I mean, there's a letting go of the ox, but there is still that separation. I think that's definitely a valid way of recognizing. Certainly one can bring towards how do we create boundaries? I guess that's the practice. We're in relationship with people and we have disagreements, and that those disagreements can be played out in a way in which the two sides strengthen their own views and opinions, or that disagreement can be seen as an opportunity to bridge. And I think if that person is looking out from the balcony, it's looking out as how do we bridge? How do we make the connection? How do we go beyond our isolated view of self? I guess that'd be kind of what I would go with.